Here with Matthew chapter number 30, number 9 in verse 35. And Jesus, when he went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And you know, that typifies his ministry when he was here on earth. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, I thank you for the privilege that I would get a chance to speak tonight and to preach on this area and help. I pray, dear God, that you would fill me with your spirit. Lord, empty me of myself. Forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you would want to say, what you would want to do tonight from the Word of God. May this message be an encouragement to the Sunday night crowd, because they are a unique group of people that assemble, that come back on a Sunday night to be a part of the church services on Sunday night, and we don't take it for granted. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help me to be a blessing and an encouragement to them tonight as we go out into this world, that we might carry forth the same ministries that you carried forth in this world when you walked this earth 2,000 plus years ago. Again, we love you and praise you and thank you for all that you do and for what you're going to do in our hearts and lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And when we think about Jesus and his ministry, as we said, we want to talk about him being a prophet, being a priest, but also being a king. And one of the great, I think, one of the things that illustrate Jesus and his ministry was that he had compassion. You know, if we're going to really minister and understand Jesus's ministry and understand what God would have us to do when it comes to us fulfilling our priestly responsibilities or being a prophet, because a prophet really was one that shared the word of God. And if we're going to make a difference in people's lives, as we're going to see as we look at these miracles that Jesus performed and what he did, Jesus preached the word of God. And without preaching, no one can get saved. Without preaching, there is no conviction that would come upon a person's life. When you think about him being a prophet, he carried forth the word of God. He fulfilled prophecy, but he also preached prophecy, but he also preached the word of God. When we think about him being a priest, he had a compassion for people, because I believe a priest in his rightful state has compassion for people. But yet we see him being a king, and he had the authority that was necessary for him to carry out the responsibilities that he had, because he was a king. And we're going to see that tonight, hopefully, as well. That may be the area that we may not get to tonight. But when we think about compassion, compassion really has this idea of, we look it up in the dictionary and may even think about it. It has the idea mean to suffer together. When Jesus looked out on these people, I believe he saw their suffering. When we look out on the world today, if we're going to have a ministry for people, we're going to have to see them with eyes of compassion. In other words, it's defined as feelings that arise when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering that they're going through. And that's what compassion really means. I believe when Jesus sees the multitude of people, and he had already been teaching, he had already been preaching, he had already been ministering, but when he looked out on the multitude, I believe he saw the hearts of the people, and he saw the suffering, and he saw what sin has done to this world and what sin is doing to the hearts and lives of people. And if we're going to have, again, let me say that, if we're going to have a ministry for people, we got to see them that very way, because if we don't see them that way, we can't carry out the responsibilities that God would have us to do when it comes to sharing the gospel. So it's having here motivated to relieve that suffering, because it's going to take the gospel to change people's lives. Amen. And it has to be preached. It has to be taught. We have to do it with a compassion. We have to do it with sympathy. It's a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accomplished by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering that they're going through. And you know, and sin, as we were talking about Miss Jerry, we talked about it yesterday, and I think her and I talked about it a little bit Wednesday night. You know, when we think about all that goes on in this world and one of the driving forces that cause people to go through what they're going through, do you understand and know that it is sin that has wreaked havoc in this society and this world that we're living in? Sin is the result, or the life that you see people living today, apart from God is a result of what sin is doing in their life. And we got to be willing to show compassion to them, because that is what's going to change their lives. No matter what they're going through, it's going to take the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change that heart before it can do anything to it that's necessary that's going to help that person. You know, let me say this, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself. You know, you could have any kind of physical disease that you could carry. You could be lame. You could have cancer. You could have one arm. You could be without two arms. You could be amputated. You could have all of these things. You know that none of those things will keep you from going to heaven. But one thing that will keep you from going to heaven is having your sins unpardoned and been forgiven of your sin. That is what's going to keep people from going to heaven. When Jesus ministered to people, the Bible is going to show us over and over that Jesus preached the word of God. And when Jesus confronted Nicodemus, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Right. Jesus didn't necessarily talk to Nicodemus about who he was, but he talked about Nicodemus about the condition that he was in. Nicodemus, you are going to die and go to hell without being knowing Christ. And matter of fact, he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God, neither can you enter the kingdom of God except you be born again. Because the gospel is what Nicodemus needed. He didn't need to understand Rabbi who he was, even though he did, but he had a need of knowing who Jesus was. I want us to turn over to Mark chapter number 4. And, you know, it's so hard for me not to go through it and dissect it, each area of scripture here that we're going to find in Mark chapter number 4. But I want us to think about it tonight as we try to introduce this to you. Think of the best communicator you have ever heard. Think of somebody tonight who has the eloquency to speak well and illuminate their voice and speak with such clarity and speak with so much power when you think about their communication skill. You probably would think about a pastor, or you would think about a preacher, or you would think about a professor, somebody that you had. You would think about a teacher. Or now think about the most loving person you've ever met. There are some people that just have the knack of just loving up on people when they need to be loved and when they need to be encouraged. And some people have a gift of doing that in such a marvelous way that it makes people feel like everything is okay. They become an encouragement to people. And you might think about a grandparent or a Sunday school teacher or a grandmother or somebody that you know that always had that kind of quality about them. But think about the most powerful person that you know, a person who with unbelievable strength could put any and everything to shame when it came to lifting or being strong. I know a lot of us, when we grew up, we think that our dads are the most strong persons in the world. And when we look up to them, we look for the physical strength, but we also look for some supportive strength from our parents as well. So you might think about them being that way. Or think about the most loving person, as we've already said, that who loves everybody that they meet. A lot of people can just love on any and everybody that meet. A lot of times we can't love everybody that we meet, because sometimes our personalities just clash and we just can't love on them like Jesus did. But you know, when you think about that, the most powerful person that you know, and one of the most powerful persons that you could ever know, one of the most loving persons that you could ever know, the one most compassionate person that you could ever know is Jesus Christ. Do you know that he could fulfill all of those things at the same time, love people, meet people, speak to them, change their lives, give them encouragement, be a blessing to them? And that's exactly what he did. And I believe that God, or Jesus, wants us to have those same kind of qualities and that same kind of ministry. But I want us to think about it tonight. Jesus lived with a phenomenal ability to speak. He was incredibly compassionate to others. He was the most powerful with authorities, because even when the scribes and the Pharisees, when they heard him speak, they said, "How he speak with such great authority?" Because he had all authority. He says all power was given to him in heaven and in earth. But I want us to think about three characteristics of his office as a prophet, a priest, and a king. When we read about Jesus performing miracles in the gospel, he encountered awesome display of all three of these offices. But the first one that I want us to consider when we think about him performing miracles, and that is the miracle of a prophet. Amen? notice here in Mark chapter number 4, if you return over there with me, Mark chapter number 4, and we're going to read through this and make some comments as we go along through this, but I want to make application of it because I think the application of it is so important to us to understand, how does it apply to me? Think about it tonight in verse number 35 of chapter 4. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had set us, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. In other words, the rain was filling up the ship, and it was about to sink. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, sleep on a pillow. It didn't bother Jesus, amen. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they were feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Because he was a prophet and a king, and he was also a priest. But after teaching all of these great miracles and all of these other teachings that precede even this area of scripture, Jesus, just like in any humanity that he was tired, and he went to sleep. But I wanted you to notice something. When we think about the prophet, and we talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class with our teenagers, you know, prophecy was one of those ways in which in the Old Testament was how God spoke to people. He spoke through miracles. He spoke through miracles. He spoke through prophecy. He spoke even as you think about through dreams, and we think about the dreamer that we're studying in our Sunday school class. But I want you to think about something. When Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, that's prophecy. Because he was already telling them that we're going to go over to the other side. Do you know when Jesus tells us something that it could happen?
Right.
It would happen. Because he was already speaking in the past that let us go over on the other side. So here he was, he's going to get in the ship with them and go over on the other side. And sometimes in our life, God may launch us out into a storm. Amen? And we have to understand that that may be the way that he would take us over on the other side. But he'd already given them a prophecy that we're going to go over onto the other side. Amen? So they were going to get in the ship. And notice something when you see it happens here. When he says this in verse number 35, he says, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with them other little ships. Do you know when you go launch out for God, you never know who's watching you.
Right.
And here it says, not only was the ship that Jesus was in that they went over, but there were some other ships that went along, because when you take Jesus with you, you can be successful in whatever it is that God would have you to do. Not only was he sending them, but he was accompanying them to go over on the other side.
Right.
And it ought to encourage us tonight that if God is calling us to do something, he is the prophecy that he gives us. Whatever his word says, that we can take hold of it. If he says we're going to go over on the other side, folks, we can go over to the other side.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's already told us that we can go there. And I think about that, and that was what they did. And when they got into the storm, he resting, he sleep. And the Bible tells us that he was in an area in the ship there that we just kind of stepping through that. And there arose a storm there. And the storm, I believe, was there because God wanted them to see their need of them. And when the ship got full, I like what they did. They went to him to get them some help because they had need of help. And they go to the right person. And he said, and notice, and it says, he was in the hinder part of the ship. Do you know, when we think about it tonight, I don't know, most of you ever sailed a little bit. I haven't really sailed a lot, but when I read it in the commentary, Jesus was asleep, but he was resting and sleeping right where he needed to be. You know, when a person is in charge of the boat, they are in the area where the helm is, because they're the ones that's going to direct the ship. If we are in a storm, Jesus need to be the helm, need to be at the helm of our life, so he can direct us through the storm that we're going to go through in our lives. And it's so ironic to me. You can't just look at the overall picture. You kind of got to look at some of the nuts and the bolts that's there and understand what they were going through. And this is where it was so important as to where he was. But when you think about another one of these things about prophecy, when he said to the wind, "Peace, be still," notice what happened. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. You know what? When we're in the storms of life, when Jesus said, "Peace," the wind ceased, because the wind was the one that was stirring up the water. He says, "Peace." The wind stopped. "Be still." The water calmed down. And they were taken care of. When we're in the storms of life, folks, that's what Jesus wants to do. And when he's in control of our lives and we believe what he says to us to be true, his word is true. And that's what made him such a great prophet, was because when Jesus spoke, people listened, or they should listen. But I don't believe sometimes we just like the disciples, or just like those in the boat. Sometimes when Jesus speaks to us, we really aren't listening. We hear it, but we really aren't listening. Because if we really hear him and we're listening, then the storms that come in our lives, then we will have some peace. And they will have some calm in them when we rely on God to help us through what we're going through. And that's what made him such a great prophet. Because when he spoke, the winds obey. And even the sea obeys. But let's bring it home to our lives. Do we really listen when he speaks to us? Are we really taking in what he's saying to us? When we spend time in the Word of God, when we hear preaching, like we hear it this morning, we talk about how we ought to worship God. When we hear the preaching from the Sunday school hour with Brother Neil, or we hear the message where we talked about last Sunday, we could go on and on about messages that we hear, but do we really hear them? Because when we're preaching the Word of God and expounding the Word of God, God is speaking to you. But are you really listening to hear and respond and react and do what it is that the Word of God is telling you that you ought to do? When he spoke to the elements, they listened. And the wind ceased. And the water settled, and it was calm. And he's prophesying and showing us that when he speaks and tells something to happen, it will happen. But I believe a lot of times, even in my own Christian life, a lot of times when God speaks to us through the Word of God and through preaching, through our devotional times together, how many of us really change and become different from what we hear from the Word of God? And I believe a lot of times we read things and we just kind of read over it, but we fail to see the importance of it. I believe one of the greatest teachings in this area is for us to understand how important the Word of God is. I think about Jesus when he said, "Man did not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We got to believe that this book is true. And this book is what's going to make a difference in your life. This book is what's going to make a difference in the lives of people that we share it with. And this book was what was making a difference in the lives of people. When Jesus was speaking, he was preaching. And he preached the Word of God. He shows us how important it is for us to hear, listen, receive, and respond to the Word of God. And that's what he was trying to teach them in all of this. And look, when he talked about it, they were fear. In other words, he said, "Why are you fearful?" Because when you don't respond, it's acting like you're not respecting what I'm saying. When God speaks to your heart and you don't respond to it, it's like you disrespecting what he said to you that you ought to do as a Christian. That's what that word fearful was talking about. It's not talking about being fear and scared, but he's talking about not respecting what I just said that you ought to do. He says, let us go over onto the other side. And they never thought about what he'd already said. And then when he told the wind to cease and the water calm down, he spoke the words and the wind, and they responded to him. We ought to be the same way when it comes to the word of God. And that's why he was such a great prophet. And we'll see even now, and many times throughout the Gospels, when Jesus spoke, he drew a crowd. And a lot of times drawing a crowd is not always a good thing. Amen. A lot of people think that when you go to a church, that as long as they got a lot of people going there, that's the best place to be. But you know what? It may not be the best place. Because a lot of people weren't following Jesus because they wanted to hear him. But a lot of people were following Jesus because of his miracles. But Jesus was emphasizing it's not the miracles that they need to hear. It's not the miracles that you need to see. It's you need to hear the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. That's what's going to sustain you. The miracles can change. And they won't be all the same for everybody. But the word of God is powerful. It's quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body and center of our soul, joint and marrow of our spirit, and the intent of our heart. The word of God will change you. And I believe that's why he's emphasizing so much the importance of how the wind and the storm, how they respond to the word of God. So think about it. How does it apply to you and I? Are we willing to listen and think about it? How do you respond to the love of Jesus when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. God commended his love towards us. Even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because of his great love and his compassion for us. What a tremendous thought when you think about this. Many priests had come and called themselves priests of that day. But the world had not seen a priest like Jesus. Amen. They had not seen anything or anybody like that. They had never seen anybody come to speak with such great authority. When you think about him performing, acting as a prophet here, as we talked about, I got ahead of myself. But think about him as a prophet and how he prophesied. You know, and all of the things that he did and what he said, folks, those things came true. The storms of life. And some of us are going to go through some storms in our lives. Amen. And we need the calmness of Jesus and the presence of Jesus when we go through the storm. Jesus wasn't just sleep haphazardly, but he was where location of Christ was the right place for at the right time. He was needed to be the pilot of our own ship in our lives. He may steer us into storms, but he will also deliver us from the storms. And he will do or is doing it to demonstrate some great truths about his person and who he is when he takes us through the storms of life. We're somebody that he can depend on. And if we can depend on him, you certainly ought to go to him. And a lot of people, what we do is we try to get it all resolved ourselves, and then we go to Jesus. How many of y'all like that? We do. Well, hold on. I can do this myself, preacher. You know, it's like putting together a puzzle or building something, and we don't read the instructions, and then we get it all done. You ever did that? You get it all done, and there's parts left over. You ever did that? Or you start putting it together, and you realize you can't get it together. It would help if you read the instructions. And sometimes it would help us in our lives if we just follow the instructions. Amen. So we see him being a great prophet. Let's look at him not only as a prophet. And I tell you, it was just so hard for me to try to get through all three of these tonight. I just wanted to get down into the nuts and bolts of it. So I'm just skipping through some things when we think about it. So we see him, first of all, as a prophet. But notice we also see him here as a priest. I want us to notice him as a priestly miracles that Jesus performs. Let's turn over to Mark chapter number 2. Mark gives some great illustrations of him being a miracles as a priest, because I believe as a priest was when he showed his greatest compassion. Here in Mark chapter 2, and we're looking at here, it's a paraplegic man. And again, and listen to what it says. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days in verse number 1. And it was great noise that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached, listen here, he preached the word of God to them. Amen. And there came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him, they pressed. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, notice what he saw. He saw their faith, and he said unto the sick and the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was a certain of the scribes, boy, when there's something good happening, you always got somebody don't like it, amen, even when Jesus is doing something good. But there were a certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God only? They didn't know who he was, amen? And immediately when Jesus perceived it was his, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoning within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick with the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. I want us to notice something here as we would read on, but notice the fact here that when we think about Jesus performing a miracle, here it was, these men were so determined to help somebody who had a great need in his life. And what I like about it here, this whole scenario, when you think about it, Jesus was doing something that all of them needed, but they didn't know they needed it, and that was he was preaching the word of God. And when you hear the preaching of the word of God, it's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to make a difference in whomever's life that they hear the word of God. That's why it's so important. We were teaching our young people. It is so important. You may not be able to lead somebody to the Lord, but you ought to be able to bring them to the house of God where the word of God is being preached. And so when Jesus was gathered and wherever he went, it's amazing to me how the people were drawn to him. I think about in the Gospels where it talked about Jesus when there were so many people gathered that he had to gather, had to get into a ship, push off the shore so he could get back far enough so he could see the multitude of people who he's talking to. And I believe the person that was way back on the mountainside of that valley could hear Jesus speak just how great and powerful his voice was. And the word of God penetrated the person that was the closest to Jesus just as much as it affected the person that was the farthest away from Jesus, because that's how powerful the word of God is. And he preached to them Jesus. And what I like about this, when he preached unto them and saw their faith, you know, says without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The man that came with the palsy came because he believed that Jesus could help him, and so did his friends that brought him to Jesus. So when he saw their faith, he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want you to notice something here about this compassionate priest when we think about Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't heal him. Jesus pardoned him of his sin. That's far better than any healing that could have taken place in his life. And as I said, as we begin this, he could die with the palsy and go to hell. He could die with the palsy and being saved and pardoned of his sin and still go to heaven. Because that is the most important thing. When we're ministering to people, if we're going to help them, we got to share with them the gospel, because that's where the foundation needs to be laid. That's what's going to change their life. It's not the need of physicality. I believe it's the need of spirituality that a person needs in their life most of all. And I don't care what it is that you're going through. I don't care what they're going through. The greatest need they have in their life is the spiritual birth that needs to take place in their life. Because when the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, it can help you with other things that you're going through. It gives you a greater and a better perspective of life and who's working in your life when you have Jesus in your life. And see, what a lot of people, and even in this great crowd that was following Jesus, they were following because of the miracles. But Jesus was preaching because of salvation need. He was preaching because they needed to hear the gospel. This man needed to hear the gospel more than he needed to be lowered down. He needed to be lowered down to where he could get to Jesus. But when he got there, Jesus saw their faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you got to believe when you come to Jesus, when you come to God by faith, he said, I will no wise cast out anybody that comes to me. And I believe when we take a step of faith, God sees that and he responds to it. Because faith is what sets us all free. You didn't get saved because without faith. You know, it takes faith to get saved. Because you have to see your condition. And when it comes to getting help, you got to see your condition and your need of help. And Jesus saw the greatest need that this man had was a spiritual need. It takes me back again to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he was kind of, maybe some say he was sneaking in, didn't want to be seen. He was coming and said, I know they're a great teacher. I just want to come and kind of talk to you. He said, Nicodemus, except you be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. And except you be born again, you cannot even enter the kingdom of God. And he went to this illustration and tell him how the wind blows. And y'all know the story and how for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Might be saved. And that's what this man had the greatest need of when you think about Jesus as a prophet, also him as a priest. Because he was fulfilling his priestly responsibilities. How do you respond to God's love? He tells us throughout Scripture how much he loves us. He's demonstrated his love. He's devoted to his love. He has responded to our love of acceptance of him. Aren't you glad that God doesn't want us to be robots? God wants us to love him, come to him out of our own free will. He didn't force you to get saved, and he won't force you to live for him. If you came to him, it was by faith. And you got to continue to live by faith. Even when I don't understand everything that's going on in my life, I still got to live by faith. You get saved by faith, you walk by faith, and you continue to live by faith. And that's what he's illustrating here to them. The most important thing that I find here was that Jesus was teaching them about the importance of forgiveness of sin. And the scribes and the Pharisees and probably even some of the others that were there never even understood the importance of what he did and what he did first. What he did first was he was preaching the word of God. He forgave this man of his sin was the most important thing because that's what he had the greatest need of. You can get healed physically and still die and go to hell. And I believe our world today is looking for a savior to relieve this sinful condition that we're in, but they don't want to trust in the remedy of getting them out of the sinful condition that they're in. In other words, we want Jesus to come, as we talked about it last Sunday morning. They wanted Jesus to come, and they were looking for a physical leader. Jesus didn't come to be the next king in Jerusalem. Jesus came to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Of your life. He came to redeem us. He didn't come to be a leader. And I think it's just as ironic that you never hear Jesus talk about political things. Because you know what? The greatest thing that was a detriment to him was lost souls. Seeing people get saved. And you know what? That ought to be our desire, is to see people get saved. And when we talk to people, how many of us would ask them? And it takes a bold person to do it. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Most of us, we kind of, well, I think they say, well, I believe that they are Christian. But have you asked them for the testimony? Young ladies, you can get married to somebody, young people. And you're going to marry somebody, it ought to be a Christian if you're a Christian. Amen. And if so many young people are getting married and never ask the person, whether it's a guy, whether it's a girl, let me hear your testimony. I got one. Where's yours?
That's right.
And if you're betting on the fact that you think they saved, you'll never know until you get home with them and you married them and you find out they ain't saved. And you might find out before you get married, but you know what? You ought not continue in a relationship when you have a relationship with somebody that's not living for the Lord. Because if they're not living for God now, you know what? It's not going to probably happen a whole lot that they're going to live for God when you get married to them because you ain't going to change them. It's going to take the power of God to change that person and make them or help them to want to live for God. And you can get in a relationship and you'll be in a struggle until the day you die trying to get somebody who's unsaved to change. It's going to take the power of the Word of God to change lives. And Jesus saw it as the greatest necessity in his ministry. So when we think about all that was going on here, we think about him being a prophet, and he did a wonderful job. We think about him being a priest because he showed he had compassion and he had love for people. And many priests had come before him, but none of them came with a perfect compassion and the immaculate love that he had, and the divine ability that Bob describes was that he could forgive sin because he was God. And that's what makes the difference. He looked on sinners with the eyes of mercy, and he granted them the greatest of grace. How did you respond to God's love? When you experience the mercies of God and understand his forgiveness, does it compel you to extend mercy and compassion and forgiveness to others? Because that's what how it applies to you and I. I believe in his priestly ministry, God was trying to show us the importance of being forgivers. And forgiveness is one of the hardest things for us to do. But when we see people who wronged us and who've done us wrong, we got to be willing to forgive them because Jesus forgave them. How many of y'all been wrong today? How many of y'all gonna be wrong tomorrow? Be on guard, it's gonna happen. It probably happened before you ever get home tonight. But you gotta be willing to forgive. I can think back many years, and I say this with all love for my father, but I remember my dad had did some tremendous things to me when I was growing up. And all of us got some things that people have done to us. But when I got saved, I saw even what he had done, I had to love him and to forgive him. And God gave me such a love and a compassion for my dad. I forgot all about those things. And what I saw was his needed of his soul being saved. And God gave me the privilege of sharing the gospel with my dad. And when he died, it gave me all the comfort in the world to know that I believe with all my heart that God saved him. Because God gave me the privilege of sharing the gospel with him. See, I didn't need him to pay the debt. I didn't need him to forgive me, but he needed God's forgiveness and to know that I forgave him because God changed my life. And that's what he wants to see in your life. And that's what Jesus was demonstrating. The greatest need that this man had wasn't physical, it was spiritual. And the world in which we live today, it's not the physicalness that needs to be changed, it's the spiritualness. And as I was sharing with the young people, and I share with people many a times, if we think about all of the shooting and all of the killings and all the horrific things that are going on in our society today, you know what the greatest need is? It's a spiritual birth that needs to take place in the heart and life of that very person. Because within us is that same sin nature, and it ain't nothing but the grace of God that's keeping you from performing that same act. If it was not for the grace of God. Because your sins have been forgiven. So we see the priestly of him. But I believe we got time. Amen. Let's look at the ministry of the miracles of the king. The position of the king here. Let's turn over to Mark chapter number 1. Mark again gives some great illustrations of these things that we're talking about. And we hope to just kind of tie all of these things up and wrap them all up together here. Notice here. In Mark chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verse 21 as we drop down here, because here Jesus casts out a demon. And there were, and here it is again, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he had entered into the synagogue and taught. You know, it was just like Jesus, and that day, many people would go and share their faith or their beliefs in the synagogue. That's where people gather. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had what? Authority. And not as this describes. You know what? When Jesus taught, there was a difference in his message. When you think about the gospel and the preaching of the word of God, when it is done right, there's a difference in the message that you have and what is being taught. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit and cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee whom thou art, the Holy One of God. Boy, he had it all right, didn't he? And Jesus, notice what Jesus did. He rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out. Boy, I tell you what, one thing about a demon, he is not going to give up easily. He came out kicking and screaming. But you know what? When the word of God and Jesus spoke with great authority, as the scripture tells us, even the demon got to go. Because he has that kind of power, folks. And when you think about it, most of y'all who, I don't know how many of y'all have ever dealt with demonology. I tell you what, I used to kind of cringe when Pastor leave and go home or go visit. It seemed like the most strangest things would happen when he was gone. And I remember one time we had a person came in there possessed with a demon. I tell you what, it was not a pretty sight. And one time he was there when we had one of our missionaries, Brother, what was his name, Teresa, that lives in New Mexico. They are there now. He was here preaching. He was in New Mexico. Remember, he got bored. Anyway, he was there, and the lady got the talking. Black there got the blabbering and the talking, and he just kept right on preaching. Didn't give audience to it. But when Jesus speaks, you got to go. I remember being in pastor's office. I'm telling you, folks, it's real. Him and I, and I believe it was Brother Serge, or it was Pastor and I, because I get to be in on that stuff. And we was dealing with this young lady who had a demon in her. And folks, it was real. We could hear it speak. We could see its eyes. We could see its respond. It was real. And you know what we had to do? We got to praying and got to anointing her and got to praying over her, got to reading scriptures and giving hold to the power of the word of God that's beyond anything that we could ever hope, do, or dream. And God removed that spirit out of her, and we saw the calmness come on that girl that you never seen before. Because God has that power. And we can tap that power if we believe in this anointed book and the word of God and the power of God. It can happen. And just like Jesus says, come out. He had to go. Where he went, I don't know. Even when that woman was here in the church, he probably went out there and found somebody trying to enter in. But we sitting there like, oh, Lord, we don't. I'm telling you, it's nothing to play with. But it takes the power of God to even deal with those kind of things, because they are real, and they are real today. But God is able, because he has that kind of power. And when we think about him, the position of being king, he could speak, and even the demons had to recognize who he is. It shows you the power that God has, that even he can remove wicked spirits, folks, because it is an opposer to him. And where God is, he won't allow any kind of activity like that. We got to believe that. I've seen it. It'll work. And just like it happened here, it can happen to you. It can happen for you when you're dealing with those kind of things, because the devil wants to do everything that he can to destroy the work of God. And you know what happens in our society today? What Jesus did, first of all, he rebuked that spirit. You know what was sad about our society? We want God to work, but we want the miracle, but we don't want the rebuking. See, if you're going to deal with evil and sin, you have to be willing to rebuke it. And if you're not willing to rebuke it, you can't have power over it. You got to be willing to dismiss it and fight and stand up against it by the power of God and the word of God. Right. Jesus rebuked it, first of all, because that's how you deal with evil. That's how you deal with sin. And you can take all of the countries in the world, and they can get together and try to have peace. But you know what? You can't have peace until you rebuke the sin that's causing the problems in this world. They don't want to deal with it in that regard. But you know what? You'll never have peace, because you got to understand the peace of God and be at peace with God in order for there to be peace in this world. And again, it goes back to our society. Our society is not going to change if it's Donald Trump, if it's King Mohammed, Mahusa, whoever. It's going to change because of the power of the Word of God and God's power working in the hearts and lives of people to reach people in this evil world in which we live. And it's going to take power beyond you and I. But aren't you glad you're on his side? Because the battle has already been won. And you and I have to claim that. And Jesus is giving us an illustration of his power. And he can do that. And so can you and I if we believe that we can. The Bible tells us that he's able to what? That if we have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Most of us ain't seen a mountain move because we don't even have the grain. You know how small the grain of a mustard seed? You know how big that is? It's not very big. But you can have the faith of that and move mountains. How many of you got some mountains in your life that need to be moved? It's going to take the power of God.
Right.
It's going to take believing in God. And he can do that. And why do we say all of this and to make application of it? How do you respond to Jesus? How do you respond to Jesus' authority in your life? You know what? I tell the young people all the time, if you don't learn how to be submissive to the authority of your parents in your life, you'll never be submissive to the authority of God in your life. And a lot of people come into the house of God, and if you don't learn how to submit to the authority of the pastor and the leadership in the house of God, you'll never be submissive to the authority of God. You know that all of those things are in place for a reason. You know that every job you ever go on, there's somebody's going to be over you. I remember my dad telling me years ago, boy, and when they call you boy, they're very serious about what they're telling you. Amen? That's country folks. We work like that. Amen? Boy, you're going to always work for somebody. Because there's going to always be an authority in your life. God didn't give us the authority without having a reason for it. And we know how to submit to it. He says, submit yourselves to them that watch over you, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For they watch for your soul. Do you know that's the responsibility of the pastor? You got to be submissive to it. And believe that this is where God would have, this is the authority that God would have you under. Wives, submit yourselves to your what? I'm just telling you the truth. To your what? I ain't hear nobody else say it. To who? Your own husband. Does it say when he's right? No. Does it say when he's wrong? No. But it says to your what? Your own husband. Husband, what are we to do? Love your wives. Love him. Jerry wants to be cherished. Amen. But that's the structure. And God has a plan. So we see here the importance of his prophet, the importance of him being a priest, and the position of a king. Why did we say all of this? Because it's so important. I want you to think about it, the whole thing here. His prophecy spoke to the demons, had his priestly mercy on the man, and the authority drove the demon out in a kingly way because he had power. How we see Jesus as prophet, priest, and king most clearly in the gospel story. Jesus as a prophet taught truth throughout his life. Jesus as priest extended mercy by dying on the cross for your sin and for my sin. Jesus as king rose to life out of his power of authority over death. Sin and the grave has no power over him. He is our teacher, our lover, our ruler. Our response to the gospel is to hear the word of God. Or a response to the gospel is to hear the word our great prophet has to say. Receive the compassion of our great priest. Live faithfully for our great king. You know, that's our responsibility. As we respond to God, this perspective of the gospel also changes how we respond to others. When we think about Jesus' ministry on this earth and what we can learn from it, because Jesus is the prophet, he proclaimed to them the promises of the word of God. As a priest, Jesus, we personally minister to those who hurt and provide for their needs, however it can be. And because Jesus is King, we show them the powerful authority Jesus has over their lives and their need to worship Him. That is when we can watch God do miracles by creating new life by grace through faith. You know, that is our responsibility. And I believe when we think about Jesus' ministry as a prophet, you know what's going to make a difference is the Word of God. When we think about Him as a priest, we got to have love and compassion for people. And folks, all authority is given to Him, and He's given us that same authority that we can go out and accomplish great things for God. And when we struggle, it's not because God is not present. It's because we lack the faith that it takes to believe God and to trust Him. I believe He shows us His ministry, and He's left us with the same ministry of responsibility of responding to people's need. And I still say with all my heart, the greatest need of this world today is to know Jesus Christ. It's going to make a difference in their lives. And I pray that you allow the same gospel to make a difference in your life. How about it tonight? Think about it. That was His ministry, but it ought to be our ministry as well. Because that's what God has left us here to do. What about you tonight? As we respond to God, the perspective of the gospel ought to change our lives. And it ought to change how we respond to other people. It's not easy to love the unloving. It's easy to love those that seem lovable. But God loves even the unlovable people. And there are a lot of them, I'm sure, in each and every one of our lives. But you know what? God loves them. And I have to tell myself that sometimes. That God loves them. And so do I have to love them. But what I need to do is ask God to love them through me. Because a lot of times you can't do it on your own. We have to ask God to help us to love people. Because that's what He did. Because He shows compassion. And when you think about the state that most people are in, we ought to have compassion. Because that's what compassion truly is when we see the devastating effect of what sin is doing to people. We got to have compassion for them because Jesus has compassion. And when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. He said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Go you, pray ye that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers into what? His harvest. It's His harvest. It's God's harvest. It's not ours. It's God's harvest. But He wants to send us forward every day. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank You again for tonight. God, thank You for the blessings of Your tremendous example of what Your ministry was here on this earth and what the ministry You have left us with. God, I'm so thankful that You didn't leave us hopeless or helpless. Lord, You left us with great authority. You left us with great responsibility. And I pray that each one of us would truly examine our hearts tonight to realize what You did in Your ministry and what You're calling us to do and what a difference it would make in our lives if we would look at people with a compassionate heart as You did in all of Your ministry. Thank You for being the great prophet that You were. And when You spoke, people listened. And the scripture tells us, dear God, how a multitude of people would gather when they realized that Jesus was in the area. Even in that house, the people were standing outside of it. Even on the banks of the river, people stood there to hear Your preaching and Your teaching and how You demonstrated to us the importance of the Word of God. Bless us now, I pray, as the invitation plays. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around but me. We're going to ask our pianist to play. Maybe God has spoken your heart tonight about some area of your life. When you think about what He's called us to do, maybe it's something that God would have you to do here in the days to come. because he is the great example of what our ministry should be all about. God saw the need in people's lives, and the greatest need was to share the gospel. They may not want to hear it. We share with our young people that when the truth is given, it may bring conflict, but it takes courage and it takes a commitment on our part to do what God would have us to do. I pray tonight, Lord, that the message did not fall on deaf ears, but it may penetrate even my heart and hearts of those that were recipients of this message tonight. Bless now, I pray. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close as he sees fit for tonight's service.